Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 31 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's not a situation where we can just fire the jailer if we're unhappy with him.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court met today to discuss the county detention center.
Senate President Robert Stivers is hoping lawmakers will quickly address the pension crisis.
Kentucky lawmakers are attending sexual harassment prevention training today.
The city of Moorhead is working to help those exposed to freezing temperatures.
Rowan County is shelling out more money for changes at the new jail.
In sports, Bengals have re-signed head coach Marvin Lewis.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 12. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court is meeting this afternoon to discuss issues with its detention center. Four inmates broke out of the facility last week and three are still at large. BCDC saw 11 total escapes in 2017, as well as a rash of overdoses and a riot, which led to the facility being closed for nearly a month. State inmates were also removed from the jail, which could mean a $700,000 revenue loss for the county. Judge Executive Steve Toler says the jail escapes cannot be blamed on a single issue.
Maybe some personnel issues in the jail, as well as some of the facility issues that we continue to monitor, and these folks that are inmates of today are a little more sophisticated than we're used to, so to speak, because, you know, we have, you know, when they're arrested in Boyd County, they may be from Detroit or Cleveland or wherever.
Toler says jailer Joe Burchett is currently under investigation for malfeasance, but there is little the fiscal court can do at this time.
Jail officials in Louisville say the cold temperatures are hobbling the heat system and many inmates are shivering in their cells. Louisville Metro Department of Corrections Assistant Director Steve Durham tells WFPL-FM that the heating system is old and parts of the jail are not getting much heat. Some areas of the building get close to 40 degrees in extreme cold. Durham says most of the jail units are around 60 degrees. He estimates about $300,000 has been invested in the new aging system since 2016. Durham says one solution could be building a new jail. Chris Pointers, a spokesman for Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher, says a new jail is unlikely since it would cost around $300 million.
Members of the state's retirement system are closely watching Frankfort this week as the 60-day session gets underway. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, the pension crisis is at the top of everyone's to-do list. Senate President Robert Stivers says he doesn't care if the House or Senate start the process so long as it's addressed quickly.
This has to be done, and it should not be a tough vote because the consequences, if we don't, are going to be even more tough. You want to talk about tough votes coming? Just let the pension bill just lay and see what kind of tough vote you've got by the end of the session on the budget.
If a pension bill is proposed, Stivers believes that all parties involved will have ample opportunity to respond before a vote is taken.
The 2018 session began yesterday in Frankfort. The Legislative Research Committee's Keith West files this report.
Even-numbered sessions, such as this year, are the longer 60-day sessions, and lawmakers will need that time to confront the pressing issues that await them. Two of the biggest hurdles that legislators will face will be addressing the $34 billion-plus unfunded liability of the state employee pension system, as well as crafting a two-year spending plan for the state. House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Atkins of Sandy Hook says that tax reform should also be part of the equation.
Well, I think it's hard for pension reform and tax reform to be separated, to be very honest with you. And I think it's hard to write a budget until you know what your revenue stream is going to be. So I think the three, in a sense, work together. But I think you got to know how much revenue you're going to have to work with before you can write a budget.
It is expected that Governor Bevin will deliver his proposed budget to the House by mid-January. Reporting from the state capitol in Frankfort, I'm Keith West.
Kentucky lawmakers must attend training to prevent sexual harassment one day after the House Speaker temporarily seceded power while investigators probe a secret sexual harassment settlement signed by four Republicans. Jeff Hoover had announced that he would resign as Speaker 2 months ago, shortly after acknowledging he privately settled a sexual harassment claim outside of court with a woman who worked for the House Republican caucus. But Tuesday, Hoover did not resign, instead authorizing House Speaker Pro Tem David Osborne to preside over the chamber until further notice.
An anti-sexual harassment training session for Kentucky state representatives has been closed to the public. Paul Miles reports.
Legislative Research Commission Director David Byerman says the state's open meetings law does not apply because lawmakers are not conducting legislative business. He says if reporters were allowed in the meeting, lawmakers likely would not feel free to ask candid questions. The annual training has drawn more attention this year because it comes one day after House Speaker Jeff Hoover temporarily stepped aside while the Ethics Commission investigates a sexual harassment settlement that he and four other Republican lawmakers signed. Hoover attended the training but declined to comment to reporters. I'm Paul Miles.
Kentucky's Attorney General has chosen a former prosecutor to join his staff. Attorney General Andy Beshear says he has selected former Commonwealth's Attorney Tom Lockridge to serve as a resource officer focusing on the handling of DUI and impaired driving cases. Lockridge is a former Commonwealth's Attorney for Garrett and Jessamine counties. Lockridge will serve as the Attorney General's Traffic Safety Resource Prosecutor. In that role, he'll be responsible for training county and Commonwealth's attorneys, as well as law enforcement, in the effective prosecution and handling of DUI and impaired driving cases. The AG office says regional trainings have been offered in Lexington, Louisville, Bowling Green, Prestonsburg, and Covington. Additional trainings through the AG's Traffic Safety Resource Prosecutors Program will be offered in other parts of the state this year.
Public education advocates used the first day of the 2018 legislative session to continue pressing lawmakers on pensions and school funding. WUKY's Josh James reports.
Fine funding first! Fine funding first!
Many credit the outcry from some teacher groups with helping derail Governor Matt Bevin's initial legislative offering on pensions, which would shift future teachers to 401k-style plans. Tuesday, speakers rallied against what they called a war on education in the state. Gay Adelman, a co-founder of Save Our Schools Kentucky, said the goal of the rally was to keep shining a light on pensions and other priorities.
We needed to feel like people had something to grab onto or we were going to lose that momentum. So that's kind of why we did what we did today. But I do think the momentum is building. I don't think people have forgotten. And I think today's just day one.
Adelman worries the SEEK formula, that's the K-12 funding mechanism in Kentucky, could also be on the chopping block as lawmakers look for ways to shore up one of the worst-funded pension systems in the country. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
There are services available to those in the Morehead area looking to escape the freezing cold. According to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, the city is working with the Gateway Homeless Shelter to help folks access the services they need.
And we have a lot of partners such as the Morehead Ministerial Association, the Salvation Army, Christian Social Services, the Soup Kitchen, and various other services and programs available. So what we're doing is if someone needs help with shelter from the cold or other weather-related or other services or something they need, we're having them call the Gateway Homeless Shelter as a starting point.
The shelter's phone number is 784-2668. Trent says the agency has informed him that it's assisted about 10 people in the last few days. The city used to open the Carl Perkins Center as a warming station, but the mayor says in the past it often went unused. There were also potential security concerns when multiple people were utilizing the building.
A water main break in Ashland is forcing the closure of a major intersection. The situation means the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has shut down the junction of 13th Street and Blackburn Avenue while crews repair the break. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says it will likely take the rest of the week to finish that job.
We just want people to realize, you know, this is one of the most busiest intersections we have, especially in that area. And people need to be aware that there will be lengthy delays along the detour route, as well as inbound traffic will be one lane, and that will be fairly congested considering the amount of traffic through that intersection.
Blair estimates that up to 20,000 vehicles a day generally run through the intersection at 13th Street and Blackburn Avenue. He advises motorists to plan accordingly and find alternative routes.
A waterline break in Pike County yesterday turned a roadway into an ice rink. WYMT reports the break happened around 9 a.m. on Kentucky 194 in the Johns Creek community, causing several inches of ice to freeze on the road. Transportation officials spread salt on the road to clear the ice, while crews with the Mountain Water District dug up the water line to make repairs. District Supervisor Timmy Lucas says the crews had to turn off water service to four customers in the area.
Problem is the hill keeps sliding, and as the weather gets colder and warms up during the day, the hill just seems to slide and breaking off more. And when it does, it takes your line and your line straight. As it pulls your line with it.
Crews worked on the line throughout the day. They said customers should have regained service yesterday evening.
Thousands of Leslie County residents lost electricity for about 3 hours yesterday morning. WYMT reports the outage happened at 5:30 a.m. when temperatures were hovering around zero, but Michael Laszlo says it wasn't due to cold temperatures. He's the reliability manager for Kentucky Power.
The power transformer tripped out in what we call our Leslie station. It was due to equipment failure, what we call a voltage regulator failed. We always look to do improvements on our grid and make it more resilient so that we can restore service when an outage like this happens.
Laszlo says the cold weather put pressure on crews to restore power in a timely manner, and most customers had regained service by 8:30 a.m.
Fire and ice are to blame for the destruction of a Lexington home yesterday morning. WKYT reports the blaze began around 2:30 a.m. on Sulphurwell Road. Lieutenant Justin D. says the nearest hydrant was more than a mile away, and once firefighters transported the water, it began to freeze in the hoses. He says the cold weather also made things difficult for the firefighters themselves.
They've been cycling themselves in and out if they need to, getting back in the rigs. But for the most part, for the first few hours, it was just a constant battle. I had about a mile and a half to go to the nearest water source, so we had to bring extra trucks out here to shuttle. Obviously, the trucks are starting to freeze up if they're not moving, if the pumps aren't moving.
Both residents of the home made it out safely. The cause of the fire is still under investigation.
Another batch of change orders is forcing Rowan County to cough up more money for the building of its new jail. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says a handful of small upgrades will cost the county another $29,000 for the project. However, he adds the State Department of Corrections recently told local officials that it will soon be ordering an expensive improvement.
They looked at all our plans. They just, you know, signed off on everything, but then they come back and say, now we've got to put ladders and rails are on the top of each one of those bunk beds. So that's another, we're looking maybe $100,000 to do that. But that'll, haven't got the change order. They're still doing the pricing, but Corrections won't let us open unless we do it.
Meanwhile, Blevins says the Rowan Fiscal Court has put on hold a $98,000 request by jailer Wes Coldiron for some door and frame improvements. Rowan's new $18 million jail is expected to open in March. At this point, Blevins estimates the county has $600,000 to $700,000 left in the project's contingency fund.
The search for someone to help with economic development in Mason County is on. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Maysville-Mason County Industrial Development Authority already has 10 to 11 candidates hoping to fill the position of former director Randall Lohman. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Board Chairman Dickie Butler says that Lohman was let go by the agency under mutual agreement in October. The terms of his departure have not been disclosed. Butler says that applications have been screened down to four or five candidates who will be interviewed for the $50,000 a year job. The board hopes to have a new IDA director by late January. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Mostly cloudy skies with lows around 12 degrees. Tomorrow on Thursday, overcast with highs around 20. Partly cloudy tomorrow night with lows around 6 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny skies, highs in the upper teens. And Friday night will be clear, lows around 3. On Saturday, sunny skies, highs around 22. And Saturday night will be mostly clear with lows around 12 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is currently 32 degrees in Ashland and Winchester and Inez. It's sitting at 30 degrees in Flemingsburg, 31 in Lexington, and it is 31 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, to herald in the new year, we here at WMKY have adopted the NPR program Latino USA to replace another weekend show. Arlo Barnett has the details.
Charlie Baglin, the host of Kentucky Afield Radio, is retiring, and the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife has no plans to replace him. Entonces, vamos a reemplazarlo con Latino USA. The program was launched in 1992. It's hosted by Maria Hinojosa, who recently expanded the show from 30 minutes to a full hour.
What we do is we tell American stories. Latino stories in the United States are American stories. We're telling them from this particular perspective, and so we are, you know, the main focus of our show is what is happening with Latinos in our midst. But, you know, they're in everyone's midst. So right now in Kentucky, the Latino population is 38th in the nation. So, you know, it's present. There's about 150,000 Latinos who reside in Kentucky.
That means about 3.5% of Kentuckians are Latino Americanos. And Hinojosa says the demographic is growing. Giving those communities attention has garnered the show a Peabody and the Robert F. Kennedy Award in recent years.
You just get a chance to kind of listen to the stories that our team, our really super diverse team, loves to tell about Latinos, whether it's understanding what a quinceañera is, which is kind of like the Latino version of Sweet 16 that's been around for decades, where they wear big poofy dresses, whether it's politics or identity politics, where we're taking apart what that means. You know, what is it to be Latino and to be white? We do investigative work. The death of an immigrant in a detention center, he committed suicide, and we investigated that for over a year and won the Robert F. Kennedy Award for that. And fun shows like the, you know, hidden story of Latinos in rock and roll.
With stories like those, Latino USA has become the longest-running Latino-based program on public media. And Hinojosa thinks her job is only getting more important.
Most of the Latinos who live in Kentucky are millennials, which means that very soon, well, who knows how soon, but, you know, they'll be making families of their own, and those children will be raised as Kentuckians. I kind of love that part of the story, is that, you know, I've met Latinos who are Alabaman. I've met Latinos who are proud Washingtonians or Rhode Islanders. So all of that is just part of the mix of who we are as a country that, regardless of your political perspective, and by the way, we cover all of them on the show, the truth is that these are people who are part of your community in one way or another. And so we like to do solid, investigative, narrative, deep, fascinating, fun, interesting journalism about this particular community, the Latino community, which, again, is an American community.
Latino USA premieres here on MSPR this Saturday, the 6th, at 7 a.m. Arlo Barnett, WMKY News.
It's 4:49 and 31 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this chilly Wednesday afternoon. Sean Delaney has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Cats and Tigers. Good afternoon. This is WMKY Sports, and I'm Sean Delaney. The Kentucky basketball team plays its first SEC road game of the season as the number 17 Wildcats visit LSU tonight at 8:30. Coach John Calipari isn't as concerned about having his Wildcats play away from Rupp Arena as he is about the Tigers' high-tempo offense.
They play fast. They're scoring probably 90 a game. And I say they play fast. They don't play as fast as you think. They'll throw it ahead. But if they don't get it there, they're more, all right, let's get this in some sort of pick and roll and get them out of position.
UK is 11-2 after opening SEC play over the weekend with a home victory against Georgia. This will be 9-3 LSU's conference opener. Moorhead State's basketball teams are getting ready for an OVC doubleheader against Eastern Illinois tomorrow night. The men's game opens things at 6 o'clock. After close losses last weekend at Tennessee Tech and Jacksonville State, Coach Preston Spradlin says his young Eagles are still costing themselves by staying focused on every play.
Got to be able to get those stops. You got to be able to stay in a stance the entire 30 seconds and guard and defend and talk and do all those things. And you got to be able to execute. We call a play or we run an action. You got to know what we're doing and you got to execute it to the best of your ability. And down the stretch, it really hurts you when you don't do that.
As for the MSU women, at 1-1 in league play, they'll be looking to bounce back after a Saturday loss at Jacksonville State. Their game will tip off around 8:15. The Round County girls pay a visit to 61st District rival Menifee County tomorrow night. While pleased with his team's defense, Coach Ed Jones says the 5-6 Lady Vikings are continuing to struggle to score points, but it's not because they're taking bad shots.
The offense is creating the shots we need, or our defense is creating easy looks for us and things. But I think we've got some young players. There's no question about that. We got young players who haven't been put in the starting role in the spotlight and the go-to person. And when they miss a shot or two, I think they lose a little bit of their confidence.
Menifee County is 8-4 this season and beat Rowan in all three meetings last year. After a tumultuous career at Kentucky, quarterback Drew Barker is moving on. WMKY's Chuck Moraz reports.
The Lexington Herald later reports Barker will play somewhere else next season as a graduate transfer. Since starter Steven Johnson is graduating, Barker's decision means UK will go into next season without a quarterback who's taken a Division I snap. Since junior backup Luke Wright has given up his final year of eligibility, JUCO transfer Terry Wilson, who signed with UK in December, sophomore-to-be Gunnar Hoke, and redshirt freshman Danny Clark and Walker Wood will battle to become the Cats' new starter at quarterback. For WMKY Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz reporting.
The University of Kentucky is also out another offensive player. The Louisville Courier-Journal reports that freshman running back Bryant Kobach announced his intent to transfer. Kobach said he based the decision on wanting to be closer to his family. The Kentucky offense wrote heavily on star running back Benny Snell and backup Saeem King. Sophomore A.J. Rose, who totaled just 15 carries as the number three running back this season, is currently set to return. UK signed three-star Georgia Prep running back Chris Rodriguez in December. The mother of a Marshall University football player shot at a New Year's party in Maryland says he is paralyzed. News outlets report Redford freshman defensive tackle Larry Aaron was one of two people struck by gunfire at a house party in Maryland Monday morning. Police spokesman Mark Lemansky says it doesn't appear Aaron was the intended target of the shooting. A 17-year-old was also shot in the arm. Aaron's brother told the Herald-Dispatch the bullet lodged in the Columbia native's spine, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down. She says doctors cannot operate at the risk of doing more damage. Police estimate there are more than 100 people at the party. No suspects have been named. With yesterday's decision to give head coach Marvin Lewis a new two-year contract, the Cincinnati Bengals are now looking ahead to next season. Quarterback Andy Dalton says that effort begins with he and his teammates learning from the mistakes they made during 2017's disappointing 7-9 campaign.
I think we've got a great group of guys here. A lot of great guys are going to
going to work really hard this offseason and do whatever they can to make this team the best that we can be. And yeah, I think that's all what we got to look forward to now. We got to just better ourselves and get ready to go for the next year.
Dalton says the Bengals will carry some momentum into the offseason after winning their final two games of the season. The Bengals also re-signed offensive coordinator Bill Lazor to a new contract with an unspecified length. Lazor took over for fired Ken Zampezi after week two. The offense finished the season ranked 32nd. After nearly 20 years with the organization, Bengals offensive line coach Paul Alexander is out of the job. Marvin Lewis confirmed the move at a press conference today. Alexander began his career in Cincinnati in 1994 as a tight ends coach before moving to the offensive line. And finally, in sports, outside of the Bengals front office, the decision to keep head coach Marvin Lewis has not sat well with many fans. Thousands of people took to social media over the past 24 hours calling for a boycott, with some even demanding that owner Mike Brown sell the team. The Bengals finished 31st in home attendance this season, outdrawing only the homeless Chargers, who played their home games in a soccer stadium less than half the size of Paul Brown Stadium. And that's it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Eastern Illinois for an OVC matchup tomorrow night. Men's action begins at 6 and the women tip off at 8:15. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose to all-time highs as a gain in chip stocks propelled the tech sector higher, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 98.67 to finish at 24,922.68. The S&P 500 was up 17.25 at 2713.06, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 58.63 at 7065.53. And these closing values represent all-time closing records for all three of the major indices. Energy stocks surged 1.5% after U.S. crude oil posted its best settlement since December 2014. And as mentioned, tech was definitely in focus today. A report came out that there is a security flaw with Intel processors, and as a result, their competitors, both of their competitors' stocks made very big jumps today. AMD shares were up over 5%, while Nvidia's stock climbed 6.6%. Stocks also got a boost from strong economic data as the ISM Manufacturing Index hit 59.7 for the month of December, while construction spending rose 0.8% in November. The Atlanta Federal Reserve raised its fourth quarter real GDP forecast to 3.2% from 2.8%, citing the strong ISM number. Also, the Federal Reserve released a summary of its December meeting. The minutes showed that changes to the federal tax code pushed the central bank to raise its economic forecast. And, of course, President Trump signed a bill last month that revamped the U.S. tax code. In corporate news, Scana shares popped 23% after Dominion Energy announced it was buying the South Carolina-based utility for $7.9 billion. In the commodities markets today, as mentioned, oil very strong, up 2.3% at $61.77 a barrel. Gold was almost unchanged at $1,316.50 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were IBM and Exxon. The worst performers were Intel and Verizon. Of course, Intel was weak because of that negative report about their processors. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Scana and Ulta Beauty, and the worst performers were Viacom and Dominion Energy. Overseas, stocks in Europe were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.5%, and in Asia, stocks were mostly up. Shanghai was up 0.625%, and the Hang Seng index was up 0.15%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 44 cents at 73.57, CSX up 71 cents at 57.05, AEP down 61 cents at 71.80, AK Steel up 10 cents at 6.34, Marathon Petroleum up $1.43 at 68.61, and Community Trust Bank was up 55 cents to finish at 47.15. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include spicy Italian, Tuscan six cheese, Mediterranean veggie, spinach Alfredo, and Hawaiian barbecue chicken. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookies and double chocolate chip brownies. For pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 or online at papajohns.com.
Mostly cloudy skies for the WMKY listening area tonight with lows around 12. Tomorrow, overcast, highs around 20, partly cloudy at night with lows.